بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our eighth session, reading from the Sharh or the explanation of العقيدة الواسطية by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, with the Sharh or explanation of Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Abdul ibn Baz رحمهم الله. May Allah have mercy upon all of them. So before we start with the continuation of the chapter that we started last week, the chapter that we started last week was Al-Iman bi awwaliyyati Allah wa azaliyatihi wa ithbat ilmihi wa sam'ihi wa basarihi wa mashiyatihi wa iradatihi. Yani having iman that Allah is eternal, has no beginning and no ending, and He is eternal and everlasting, and also the affirmation of His Yani sifat of ilm, knowledge, and sam', hearing, and basr, sight, and mashiyah, His will and irada, His intent, or as is translated in the English translation, desire, His desire. So last week we read the 13 or 14 ayat from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah's presentation under this title. And I realized that in the English translation there are only 13 ayat. In the Arabic, there are 14. So what is in the English translation as the 13th ayat should have been the 14th, and there was one ayah before that from Surah Al-Ma'idah, the first ayah of Surah Al-Ma'idah. So from the English translation, if somebody is reading from the English translation, the 13th ayat should have been from Surah Al-Ma'idah, the fifth surah, first ayat, and the last ayat in the English translation, Surah Al-An'am 6:125, should have been the 14th ayah. There should have been 14. In the English, there are only 13. So the next to the last one was left out. That's Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th surah, 1st ayah. So if you're reading from English, you should write that in. Tonight, inshallah, we've read the statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, which in English began on page 34 and in Arabic began on page 27. And tonight, inshallah, in English, we'll begin from reading the Sharh, in the English translation, on page 37, and from Arabic on page 28. Tayyib. Before we do that, though, we're going to look at the questions from last week, from the modified questionnaire study guide for lecture number 7. The first question being mentioned five sifat, five descriptions, or yani qualities of Allah, mentioned in the title of this chapter. Five sifat of Allah that mentioned in the title of this chapter. Five, Zaki.
Nothing is before Him, nothing is before Allah.
Okay, the title itself, yani, mentions several things, right? The title. So nothing is before Him, okay, you can say that, yani, that they made the title like that, yani, awwaliyyati. Okay, that's one. Naam. Yani, Ahmed.
Ilmihi,
his knowledge. Two. Sharif.
His hearing.
His sam. Three. Who else? Amir.
His eternality.
Okay. Good. Yani, sorry, we'll leave it at that and I'll come back to it, inshallah. Naam. Adil.
Basro,
his sight. Naam. What else? Naam. His nearness. Okay. Tayyib. I guess that's what some way it could be translated like that. Now, what else? Now.
Mashiyatihi.
Meaning?
His will.
His will. And iradatu. Naam. His what?
Intent.
His intent. Or as it's translated, his desire. Okay. So these are some of the sifat that are mentioned in the title. Here, I just want to make a note though, just for clarity. I think I mentioned it last week. I may have not yani made it crystal clear. In the title, the wording that's used in the beginning of the title is Al-Iman bi awwaliyatihi wa azaliyatihi. Awwaliyatihi wa azaliyatihi. Ya rahmukallah. What is more clear is that it should have said awwaliyatihi wa akhiriyatihi. Yani referring to the two names that are mentioned in the beginning of the first ayah. Yani huwa al-awwal wa al-akhir. Al-awwal, yani awwaliyatihi. Wal-akhir, آخريته. That's what would have been more clear if the wording in the title came like that, referring to those two names. يعني that he is الأول وهو الآخر. Ibn Qayyim mentions it as أوليته or يعني أزليته وأبديته. أزليته he mentions that he is the first. There's nothing before him. He's eternal. يعني from forever, from the beginning. And he said أبديته that he is everlasting. Yani that he will live forever. There's no ending to him. So the title is a little bit yani unclear in the way that it is worded. But in any case, probably what is intended here is to refer to the first two names in the first ayah. Yani هو الأول وهو الآخر. Yani أوليته, he is the first, there's nothing before him. آخريته, he is the last and there's nothing after him. That is probably what was yani would have been more clear. And then it mentions yani the affirmation of his knowledge, his hearing, his sight, his will and his intent. Yani his mashiyah and his irada. Second question. Mention any asma, names of Allah which are connected to these sifat. That's in the title. Any names of Allah that are connected to these sifat of Allah that are mentioned in the title. Any names that are connected to these sifat. Naam, Wali. Duwali. Al-Ahad. Is Al-Ahad referred to, is there any sifa here referring to Al-Ahad in the title? Listen to the question. Mention any asma of Allah which are connected to these sifat of Allah mentioned in the title. The title that we just got finished going over. Any names that are connected to those sifat. Okay, keep it in mind that all of the names of Allah contain within them sifat, characteristics or qualities of Allah. All sifat do not have a name connected to them. There are some sifat of Allah that are confirmed, affirmed, but there's no name connected to it. So the question here is, are there any names that are connected to these sifat that are mentioned in the title? Any names? Naam.
Al-Hayat.
Huh?
Al-Hayat.
Al-Hayat. Taib. Is there a sifa of Hayat in the title here? Okay. You can say ever-living. But the word that's used here in the title is actually awwaliyah and akhiriyah. That means the first and the last. The first and the last. That's actually the sifa that should be mentioned in the title. Okay? Naam. Fadl. As-Sami'. As-Sami'. Okay, because As-Sam is mentioned here. So the name that's connected to it is the one who is all hearing As-Sami'. Naam. Yusuf.
Al-Basir.
Huh? Al-Basir from Al-Basr. Naam. What else?
Al-Alim.
Al-Alim from Ilm. What else?
Al-Batin.
طيب. Al-Batin. Al-Batin huwa yani al-zahir wal-batinu is mentioned in the ayah that comes after the title. But we're talking about the sifat that are mentioned in the title. What else? Is there any other name that's connected to any sifat in the title?
Al-Awwal.
Al-Awwal? Okay. Naam.
Al-Khalid.
Al-what?
Al-Khalid.
Al-Khalid? No. No. Yani, I think you were saying you're using this word in reference to Azaliyah or Awaliyah or Akhiriyah.
And the eternal.
Yeah. These are translations that are a little bit tricky here because if you actually look at the Arabic, then yani, you can say eternal. Naam. Because what is intended here is yani, Al-Awwal or Al-Awwaliyati. What is intended here is that he's eternal, that he always existed. But that doesn't indicate a name of Allah that's Al-Khalid, rather it indicates the name of Allah, Al-Awwal. It indicates the name of Allah, that is Al-Awwal. That's the name that's connected to the sifa that's mentioned here in the title. Okay, so the point here is that there are some characteristics here of Allah that are from names of Allah. And we are looking for those names that are connected to these sifat. And there are some sifat here that are not connected to any names. So which sifa is not connected to any name of Allah in the title here? Which sifa is not connected to, there's no name of Allah that's connected to that sifa. Naam.
His desire.
His desire. Naam. What else? His mashiyah. Yani his will and his irada. His mashiyah and his irada. These are sifat of Allah. There's no name of Allah that's connected to these sifat. And that's the intent, that's what's intended by the question. To be able to distinguish between sifat and asma and where they coincide and where they don't. Okay. Question number three. Which asma of Allah are mentioned by the mu'allif? The mu'allif is the author. That is Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. Which names of Allah are mentioned by the mu'allif in the 13 or 14 ayat which he quotes in this chapter? 13 if we're reading from the English, 14 if we're reading from the Arabic. Which names are mentioned? Naam. Abdul Wali.
Allah.
Allah, first and foremost. Naam. After that.
Al-Allah.
Huh?
I ain't got him in no particular order. Al-Allah. Al-Razak.
Okay. I don't know the second name. What did you mention? I didn't mention. What do you mean? Al-A'la. I don't think that's mentioned in any of the ayat. Okay. Give me one more. The one after that, you said what?
Al-Qawi.
Al-Qawi. Al-Qawi, that's disputed. We're going to discuss that, inshallah. Naam. Anybody else? Naam.
Al-Awwal.
Al-Awwal. Tayyib.
Al-Mateen.
Al-Mateen is mentioned, naam, in the ayat with Ar-Razak. Naam. What else? What are the names of Allah mentioned here? Actually, yani in these ayat, there are yani probably 16 or 17 names mentioned. 17 if we include Dhul Quwwah, and 16 if not. What else is that?
Al-Ghafur.
Al-Ghafur. Go ahead. Uh-huh. What else?
Al-Hakim.
Al-Hakim. Naam.
Al-Khabir.
Okay, somebody else. Jazakallah khair. Huh?
Al-Zahir.
Al-Batin. Okay, so there are lots of names mentioned in these ayat. The one point that I want to make a note of here is there are 17 names mentioned here if we include yani the description of Allah Dhul Quwwah. But we said that this was yani a matter that there was some dispute, and we'll come to that question later. Okay, so the next question, which sifa, description of Allah, is affirmed by the ism, name of Allah mentioned in ayah 25:58. This is the second ayat that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentions. The ayat in Surah Al-Furqan 25:58. Which sifa, which description of Allah is affirmed by the name of Allah that's mentioned in that ayat? Now. Alladhi la yamut. Okay. Is there a name there that is a sifa from? Okay. So the sifa for Allah, yani, that's affirmed by the name that's mentioned in this ayat. The name that's mentioned in this ayat is Al-Hayy. And the sifa that comes from that name is?
Hayat.
Hayat. Hayat. The sifa that comes from Al-Hayy is Hayat. As far as Alladhi la yamut, that is, yani, that's the, yani, negation. Yani, there's affirmation and there's negation. Again, the point here is to distinguish between the names of Allah and the sifat of Allah. Being able to distinguish what is the name of Allah and what is the sifa of Allah, and that every name does contain within it a sifa. But not every sifa has a name that's with it, and this is we're trying to yani make yani this clear in our minds by these types of questions. Question number five. This ayat, yani the same ayat in Surah Al-Furqan, 25th Surah, 58th ayat, is an example of how Allah often describes Himself in the Qur'an, as mentioned in previous lessons. Explain, what do we mean by that? That this is an example of how Allah often describes Himself in the Qur'an. What is it, yani, in this ayat, that is an example of what we talked about previously, of how Allah describes Himself in the Qur'an? Abdul Wali.
Lord gathers that which He has described Himself with and names Himself with between affirmation and negation.
Naam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Himself and names Himself by combining between affirmation and negation. Between affirmation and negation. And this is an example of that affirmation and negation. How so? Naam, Ahmed.
He affirms perfect life and negates death.
He affirms perfect life for Himself by saying He is Al-Hayy. And then He negates from Himself the defect that would be in life, that is, He says, He's the one who doesn't die. So there's affirmation of perfect life and the negation of imperfect life. Yani, the life that ends with death. Is it clear? Sorry. Question number six. Which one of the arkan, pillars of Iman, is affirmed in ayah 659? Yani, the sixth ayat from the ayats mentioned by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, the sixth ayat from Surah Al-An'am, 6th Surah, 59th Ayat. Which one of the pillars of Iman is affirmed in that ayat? What is the name, Akhi?
Pia.
Pia, naam.
Belief in the Qadr.
Yani belief, Iman in Al-Qadr. Yani one of the pillars of Iman. Belief in Al-Qadr is affirmed in this ayat. How so, somebody? How so? Where is it affirmed in this ayat? Naam, Fadl, Ahmed.
It confirms that only Allah knows the unseen and nothing is outside His knowledge.
Okay, only Allah knows the unseen. It does confirm that. That's a fact. But where does it confirm the Qadr? Naam.
First two pillars of Qadr. Or the first one. Yeah. Qadr and knowledge and Kitabah.
Okay, knowledge and Kitabah. Okay, so there's knowledge and Kitabah there. More clearly what Sheikh Salih Fawzan said, and of course it's not in our book. Okay, I was reading from another source, so we excuse for that. But Sheikh Salih Fawzan said, فيه إثبات القدر وإثبات الكتابة وإثبات الكتابة في الله المحفوظ. And Sheikh Salih Fawzan, I read last week, where he said, in this ayat, in the end of the ayat, في كتاب مبين is an affirmation of قدر. يعني the كتاب مبين here means what? The الله المحفوظ. So this is an affirmation of قدر, and it's also affirmation of الكتابة. يعني في الله المحفوظ. That everything is written in the Lawh al-Mahfuz or in a clear book as mentioned in this ayah. Naam.
I found it, but it is later.
Go ahead, Fadl. What did you find?
There's no moist or dry thing.
That's a detailed explanation of knowledge. But we're talking about this particular, this ayah. That's a different ayah. We're talking about here, in this particular ayah, where he mentions, yani in the end of the ayah, oh, it's the same ayah, but in the end of the ayah he says, yani that, there's nothing, yeah, okay, go ahead, finish reading the rest of the ayah. Naam.
No moist or dry thing, but that is it is written in a clear record.
Except it is written in a clear record. Okay, so this here, Sheikh Salih Fawzan said, the clear record, he said this refers to the affirmation of the Iman in Al-Qadr and the Kitabah, the writing in the Lawh al-Mahfuz. Yani that everything is written down, yani before Allah created the heavens and the earth by 50,000 years, everything that's going to happen is written in a clear book, in a clear record, in the Lawh al-Mahfuz. Naam. Question number 7. Discuss the difference of opinion of the scholars concerning one of the praiseworthy descriptions of Allah in Ayah 51-58. Yani, in Surah Al-Dhariyat, which is the 9th ayat mentioned by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, Surah 51, Ayah 58. What is the difference of opinion of the scholars, of the people of Sunnah, concerning one of the praiseworthy descriptions of Allah in this ayah? What is the difference of opinion? Now, what is the ayat, first of all? What is the ayat? What does Allah mention in the ayat? Now. Okay, so Allah mentions that He is Ar-Razaq, and He mentions that He is Dhuwat Quwa, and He is Al-Mateen. What is the difference of opinion concerning one of these descriptions? Ahmed.
Some say Al-Quwa is not a name, and some say it is.
Naam. The difference of opinion is concerning this description, this praiseworthy description of Allah, Dhul Quwa, is it a name of Allah or is it a sifa of Allah? And from amongst the contemporary scholars who numbered it as one of the names of Allah is Sheikh Salih Al-Usaymi, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. In his explanation of Aqidah Wasatiyah, he mentions it, he lists it as one of the names of Allah. And we also mentioned that yani Sheikh Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Usaymin, in his list of the names of Allah, Asma al-Husna, he didn't list it. And likewise, his teacher, Al-Imam Abdurrahman al-Sa'di, also didn't list it. And Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, in his explanation of this book, he also mentions that he mentions it as a wasf of Allah, as a sifa of Allah. And Sheikh Abdul Razak also said the same thing in his yani explanation of the beautiful names of Allah. He mentioned it as a sifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's some difference of opinion about this name, as it is with some other names that some scholars said is from the names of Allah, and other scholars said that it's not. And the point is that there is some room here for some difference of opinion, and we just want to kind of pay attention to the differences amongst the scholars of Sunnah, that sometimes they didn't agree on every name as being a name of Allah. There's some difference of opinion about it. That's the point. Question number 8, which of these 13 or 14 ayat is a foundational dalil concerning the manhaj of Ahl Sunnah in Tawheed of Allah and Asma? Tawheed of Allah, the Tawheed of Asma and Sifat of Allah. Which ayah is a foundational dalil that we have mentioned several times in the past? Naam, which ayah? نعم تفضل.
ليس كمثله شيء وهو السميع البصير.
Basir. Now, that's ayah, that's the 42nd surah, 11th ayah, and it's the 10th ayah in the series of ayahs mentioned by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, that there's nothing like him, and he is the one who has all, who is all hearing and all seeing. And he, how is this a foundational dalil for the Ahl Sunnah in the manhaj of Asma wa Sifat? How is it a foundational dalil? In what way? What does it indicate to us? Now, what is it a dalil for? Now. Sure, there's no resemblance to, but how is it, yani, what's the principle or the point that this ayat is used for? Naam.
That there is no one that resembles Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also describes himself with having the description of hearing and sight, which the creation also has, but Allah, it's not like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has hearing, sight and hearing.
Okay, so he says that there's nothing like him, and he also affirms that he is described with hearing and sight, but not like the sight of the created being. So what's the principle? What's the qaida from this that we've been talking about almost from the beginning? Yani the qaida is in asma wa sifat that there is nafi and ithbat. Yani that Allah combines in his descriptions and names of himself, he combines between and nafi wal ithbat. In this ayat there's negation, nafi, and there's ithbat. He negates that anything is like him, and then he affirms that he is the one who, yani, hears everything and sees everything. So this is the principle, yani, that this is a foundational dalil for. The principle of negation and affirmation. That because we affirm sight for Allah, it doesn't have to be like the sight like the human beings. Why? Because there's also negation of there being anything resembling him. So we affirm and we also negate. We don't say because you affirm something for Allah, it got to be like created beings. Or if it's like created beings, therefore we negate it from him. No, we affirm what he affirms from himself, and we negate what he negates from himself. We affirm characteristics of perfection, and we negate characteristics of imperfection. Okay, so this principle, we're going to keep hearing it again and again and again, and we just want to make sure that we see the importance of this ayat, and how is it used, what is its meaning, and what benefits do we get from it. Inshallah. The last question is, briefly explain the two main differences between the two types of al-irada. The two main differences, yani, between the two types of irada. Pia.
So the universal irada is something that Allah decreed and must happen to be able to be there or may not be pleased with it.
Good. Universal irada, qawniya, is something that Allah decrees. It must happen, though it may or may not be something that Allah is pleased with. Excellent. MashaAllah. On the other side, the other type of irada, naam. Yusuf.
There is irada shar'iyya.
Shar'iyya.
Related to all things that Allah is pleased with. It can happen or it cannot happen.
The irada shar'iyya is related to that which Allah is pleased with, that He loves and is pleased with. Always. It may or may not happen. It may or may not happen. So what are the two main differences? That in irada qawniya, the universal will of Allah, it's related to that which He decreed. It must happen. Though it may be something He loves and is pleased with, or He doesn't love and is not pleased with. The opposite is true of irada shar'iyya. It's related to what Allah legislated. In the deen, He always loves it. But it may or may not happen. It may or may not happen. So this is something that is a very important principle. To understand that there are two types of irada of Allah, and we must be able to distinguish between them. As I mentioned in the previous session in passing, yani the people deviated because of this misunderstanding, either because they only affirmed one or the other, and they didn't make any distinction between them. The Jabariyya went to the extreme of saying everything is as Allah decreed it to be, and people don't have any free will, not even limited free will. Everything is forced. And the Qadariyya said they didn't affirm that people are forced, rather they said that Allah doesn't even know what people do until they do it, as though people have absolute free will. And both of these are deviations. Rather, we recognize that there is some limited free will of the human being, but everything is subject to the will of Allah. And these two types of will are very important to make a distinction between them, recognizing both of them and distinguishing between them. So when something happens that we can't imagine that Allah is pleased with it, but nonetheless, we still say it's the will of Allah. It's irada qawniyah, what he decreed to be, even if he is not pleased with it, even if he doesn't love it. And inshallah, we're going to talk about that a little bit today in the sharh of Al-Imam Abdulaziz Ibn Baz, rahimahullah. So we're going to be reading, as I mentioned, we're going to be reading from the English translation, the sharh, beginning on page 37, and the Arabic beginning on page 28. I hope I got those numbers right. طيب. The title in the Arabic is Sharh Samahat al-Sheikh Ibn Baz Rahimahullah, yani the explanation of the noble Sheikh Abdulaziz Ibn Baz Rahimahullah. And he begins by saying, هذه الآيات قد جمع الله فيها ما سمى به نفسه ووصف به نفسه بين النفي والإثبات. That these ayat that we read last week, 14 of them, are ayat in which Allah has combined in what He has named Himself with and what He has described Himself with, He has combined between negation and affirmation. And nafi wal ithbati. He has combined in what He has named Himself with and what He has described Himself with between negation and affirmation. وَفِيهَا يُثْبِتُ صِفَاتَ الْكَمَالِ نَفْسِهِ وَيَنْفِي عَنْهُ صِفَاتَ النَّقْسِ وَالْعِيبِ وَقَدْ تَقَدَّمَ الْكَلَامُ فِي آيَةِ الْكُرْسِ وَمَا فِيهَا وَقُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ وَمَا فِيهَا. So he said here in these ayat, Allah has affirmed the characteristics of perfection for Himself, and He has negated from Himself the characteristics of defect and yani that which is blameworthy. He has negated from Himself any characteristics or qualities or descriptions that indicate defect or deficiency or that which is blameworthy, unbefitting of Allah. And it has already preceded some discussion concerning Ayatul Kursi and what it contains of affirmation and negation, and also Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad, Surah Al-Ikhlas, and what it contains of negation and affirmation we have discussed previously in detail. Here the Shaykh says, وَهَكَذَا يعني, and this same thing we find in what follows. هَكَذَا قَوْلُهُ هُوَ الْأَوَّلُ وَالْآخِرُ وَظَاهِرُ وَالْبَاطِنُ وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ. يعني, similarly, يعني, we find Allah describing Himself and naming Himself, يعني, according to this methodology. He says He is the first and He is the last, الْأَوَّلُ وَالْآخِرُ, and He is the most high and the nearest, وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ, and He is the one who has knowledge of everything. This is from Surah Al-Hadid, 57th Surah, the third ayat, and this is the first ayat of the 14 ayats mentioned by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. The Shaykh here now, in his explanation, is going to skip many of those ayats and just mention a few of them. He's going to mention a few of them, and he's going to discuss a few of them, yani briefly, and maybe a couple of them in detail. So the first ayat is this ayat. The Shaykh in his explanation says, أَثْبَتَ أَنَّهُ الْأَوَّلُ, yani Allah in this ayat affirms that He is the first. الَّذِي لَيْسَ قَبْلَهُ شَيْءٌ, yani the one who there is nothing before Him. And this is as the Prophet ﷺ explained in the hadith that is reported on the authority of Abu Hurairah in the Sahih of Muslim. In that hadith, the Prophet ﷺ explained these four names of Allah that are mentioned in this ayat. He said, Allahumma anta al-awwalu, falaysa qablaka shay'un. O Allah, You are the first. Therefore, there is nothing before You. There is nothing before Allah. Wa anta al-akhiru, and You are the last, falaysa ba'daka shay'un. So there is nothing after You. Because Allah is ever living. And everything else is yani subject to death. Wa anta al-zahiru, falaysa fawqaka shay'un. So al-zahir, He says, therefore, there is nothing above You. This means that Allah is the Most High. There is nothing above You. And then the Shaykh stops, but the hadith goes on to say, the Shaykh stops here, the hadith goes on to say, وَأَنْتَ الْبَاطِنُ فَلَيْسَ يَنِي دُونَكَ شَيْءٌ, and You are the Most Near, and there is nothing nearer than You. Shaykh stops here at this part of the hadith, and he says, فَهُوَ الظَّاهِرُ, and he explains something about the name of Zahir. فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ جَمِيعًا. Yani in the text it says فَوْقَ إِبَادِ, it should be Allahu A'lam, yani فَوْقَ إِبَادِهِ جَمِيعًا. Yani you are a Zahir, the Most High, and you are and Yani the one who is above his servants, his slaves, his worshippers, all of them. He's above everyone, everything. لَيْسَ فَوْقَكَ شَيْءٌ There's nothing above you. وَالْبَاطِنُ لَيْسَ دُونَهُ شَيْءٌ And you are al-batin. Yani he's talking about Allah that he is al-batin and there's nothing nearer than him. And he explains something about the meaning of what is intended by there's nothing nearer than him. Yani he is the closest to anyone and therefore he says يَعْلَمُ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ لَا تَخْفَى عَلَيْهِ خَافِيَةٌ Yani so he knows everything. About us and about everyone and about everything. Because he is the nearest. So he knows everything. لا تخفى عليه خافية. No secret is hidden from him. So this is a hint from the Shaykh at part of the meaning of al-batin. That it means that Allah's knowledge. He's the closest and therefore he knows everything about us. There's nothing of about us or about anything in the creation that is hidden from him. And this ayah ends with the words وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ And this is also an indication that this refers partially to his knowledge of everything. His knowledge of everything. The Shaykh goes on to say, after mentioning this first ayah, he skips the second ayah that talks about Allah being al-hayy and that he doesn't die. And he goes to the third ayah, he says, وَهَكَذَا آيَاتِ الْعِلْمِ And likewise, also we find Allah naming himself and describing himself in the Qur'an, like in these ayat related to knowledge. And these are the six ayats that follow. Yani ayat number 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. All of them are ayat related to Allah's knowledge. The Shaykh only mentions the first of those six ayats, and he mentions the last of them. And he just refers to them as ayat al-ilm التي ذكرها بعده. Yani so likewise, these ayat of knowledge that Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah mentioned after the previous ayat. And he mentions the first of them, وَهُوَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ Surah Al-Tahrim, 66 surah, second ayah. And he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is al-alim, the all-knowing, al-hakim, the all-wise. He skips the next, yani four ayats, and he goes to the eighth ayat, which is the last ayat related to ilm. And he says, وَقَوْلُهُ لِتَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا Yani so that you may know, that Allah has power over everything. The name Al-Qadir is here, yani in the indefinite form, yani that Allah has power over everything. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا And Allah encompasses everything in knowledge. And His knowledge encompasses everything. And this is from Surah Al-Talaq, 65th Surah, 12th Ayat. وَغَيْرُ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْآيَاتِ الَّتِي فِيهَا الْعِلْمُ وَالْحِكْمَةِ كَقَوْلِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, 220th Ayah. He says, and then there are other ayats like this, ayats which contain the indication of Allah's knowledge and the indication of Allah's wisdom. And then he mentions another ayat, not from the ayats that Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah mentioned. He said, indeed Allah is Azizun, mighty, Hakimun, wise. Now he goes to the next topic of ayat. He said, وَآيَاتْ الرِّزْقْ وَقُوَّةً And that's one ayat, it's the ninth ayat in the ayats that Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned. So he goes from the six ayats of knowledge, he goes to the ninth ayat from Surah Al-Dhariyat, 51st Surah, 58th ayat. 51st Surah, 58th ayat, he says, وَآيَاتْ الرِّزْقْ وَالْقُوَّةً So there are ayats that indicate Allah being the one who provides and that Allah has strength, power. إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَاقُ ذُو الْقُوَّةِ الْمَتِينُ That indeed Allah, He is الرَّزَاق, the one who provides for everything and everyone, the material provisions in this world, as well as the yani spiritual provisions. Yani everything in our life, not just our material life, all of our provisions, Allah is the provider. Allah is the provider. And he is ذو القوة, the one who possesses power. And المتين, يعني شدة قوة. يعني some of the scholars said that he is the one who possesses strength and also, يعني, the highest extent or the furthest extreme of, يعني, of strength. شدة قوة. The Shaykh then goes from 9 to the ayat. He skips the ayat, ليس كمثله شيء, he's come back to that later. And he goes to Yani the final ayat, which is yani 11, 12, 13, and 14, which all deal with the Mashiach of Allah. Here he goes to those last four ayats that deal with the Mashiach of Allah. He says, وَآيَاتْ الْمَشِيَةِ وَآيَاتْ الْإِرَادَةِ. So there are also ayat, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned, related to the will of Allah and the intent of Allah. He says, كُلُّهَا تَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ عَظَمَتِهِ سُبْحَانُهُ وَأَنَّهُ سُبْحَانُهُ لَهُ الْمَشِيَةُ الْكَامِلَةُ وَلَهُ الْإِرَادَةُ الْكَامِلَةُ وَلَهُ الْعِلْمُ الْكَامِلُ وَلَهُ الْقُدْرَةُ الْكَامِلَةُ كُلُّهَا صِفَاتُهُ جَلَّ وَعَلَىٰ وَلَكِنْ عَلَىٰ وَجْهٍ عَلَىٰ وَجْهٍ لَا يُشَابِهُهُ إِبَادَهُ. So also here now he mentions the ayat of al-mashiyah and al-irada. And Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned four ayats, the 11th, 12th, 13th, and 14th ayat. He mentioned dealing with al-mashiyah and al-irada. And this topic is a very important topic, and we discussed it last week a little bit, and it was the final question from last week's study guide, and we're going to look at the Shaykh's discussion of it as well to reaffirm any what we already talked about. Ayat of mashiyah and ayat of irada. All of these ayat, yani the ayat of ilm, and the ayat of rizq and quwwa, and the ayat of mashiyah and irada, he said, كُلُّهَا تَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ عَظَمَتِهِ سُبْحَانُهُ. Yani all of these indicate the greatness, the magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that he, yani, is the one who has al-mashiyah al-kamila. Yani meaning his will is perfect, is complete and perfect. وَلَهُ الْإِرَادَ الْكَامِلَ. And his intent, yani when he intends something, it's complete and perfect. And his knowledge is complete and perfect. And his power, his ability is complete and perfect. And this is very important that he keeps repeating this description of kamil, kamila. For us to understand that the sifat of Allah, all of them are kamila. As opposed to the sifat of the human being, which are naqisa, which are da'ifa, as the Shaykh mentions after. Yani to contrast between the sifat of Allah and the sifat of created beings, even if the same word is used, they are not the same. Yani human beings have knowledge and Allah has knowledge, but the knowledge is not the same. Allah's knowledge is kamil, it's complete and perfect, and the human being's knowledge is incomplete and imperfect. So he says, كُلُّهَا صِفَاتُهُ جَلَّ وَعَلَىٰ. All of these are his sifat, his qualities and characteristics and descriptions. وَلَكِنْ عَلَىٰ وَجْهٍ لَا يُشَابِهُهُ إِبَادَهُ. But it should be understood in a manner in which his created beings, his worshippers, his slaves, do not resemble him in these qualities or characteristics in any way whatsoever. لَا يُشَابِهُهُ إِبَادَهُ. لَا يُشَابِهُ إِبَادَهُ. And he doesn't, himself, doesn't resemble his worshippers in these qualities or characteristics. He doesn't resemble the created beings in these qualities or characteristics. قُوَّتُهُ لَيْسَتْ مِثْلَ قُوَّةِ عِبَادِهِ. And his strength is not like the strength of the worshippers, of the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بَلْ قُوَّتُهُ أَكْمَلْ شَيْئًا. Rather, his quwwah is the most complete thing. It is complete and perfect. There's no resemblance between the characteristics of Allah and the characteristics of the created beings. وَحَكَذَا جَمِيعَ الصِّفَاتِ. And this is how it is for all of the qualities or characteristics or descriptions of Allah. هِيَ فِيهِ عَلَى وَجْءَ الْكَمَالِ الْمُطْلَقِ. Yani these characteristics for Allah are in a manner that is complete and perfect, absolute. Absolute power, absolute knowledge, and so on and so on. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ. Now he goes back to the 10th ayat that he skipped over to come to the ayat of Irada and Mashiach. He says, وَلِهَذَا قَالَ. And for this reason, yani the fact that Allah's sifat are complete and perfect, and the created beings' sifat are incomplete and imperfect, for this reason he said, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ. There's nothing like him. Surah Ash-Shura, 42nd Surah, 11th ayat. And he also said, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah didn't mention these ayats here, but maybe they have been mentioned previously. He said, فَلَا تَضْرِبُوا لِلَّهِ أَمْثَالًا. So therefore, do not make any examples or similarities between Allah and the created beings, between the sifat of Allah and the sifat of the created beings. Surah An-Nahl, 16th Surah, 74th ayat. And he also mentions from Surah Maryam, 19th Surah, 65th Ayah, هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيًا. Do you know for him any sami, yani anything or anyone that resembles him, that is similar to him, yani in his qualities or characteristics? This is a question that is, yani istifham inkari. It means that it is a question that's meant to reject that idea. Yani it's not, do you know anyone or anything similar to Allah? It means there is no one and nothing similar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he also mentioned from Surah Al-Ikhlas, 112th Surah, 4th Ayat, وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. And there is no one that is equal or comparable to him. These ayat he mentions here, Al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, he mentions these ayat here as ayat that are like the first ayat, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ, which indicate there being nothing equal to Allah, nothing similar to Allah, nothing comparable to Allah. That every description of a created being is defective and incomplete in comparison to the perfection of Allah's qualities and characteristics that may bear the same name. Shaykh goes on to say, فَعِلْمُهُ كَامِلٌ. So his knowledge is complete and perfect. لَيْسَ قَعِلْمُ الْمَخْلُقِينَ. It is not like the knowledge of the created beings. وَلَا تَخْفَى عَلَيْهِ خَافِيَةً. And there is no secret that is hidden from him, because his knowledge is perfect. وَهَكَذَا حِكْمَتُهُ وَقُدْرَتُهُ وَقُوَّتُهُ وَحِلْمُهُ وَسَمْعُهُ وَبَصَرُهُ كُلُّهَا لَهَا صِفَاتٌ الْكَمَالِ لَيْسَ فِيهَا نَقْصٌ وَلَا يُشَابِهُهُ عِبَادُهُ فِيهَا بِخِلَافِ صِفَاتِ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ فَهِيَ نَاقِصَةٌ ضَعِيفَةٌ. So here after this he says, so his knowledge is complete and perfect. It's not like the knowledge of the created beings. Nothing is hidden from him. No secret thing is hidden from him. And this is the same way that we look at his hikmah, his wisdom, his qudra, his power, his quwwah, his strength, his hilm, his forbearance, his sam, his hearing, his basar, his sight. All of these characteristics, yani, they are characteristics, these characteristics of Allah are characteristics of perfection. There is no defect in them. And none of his created beings resemble him in these characteristics, in their perfection, as opposed to the characteristics of the created beings, for they are defective, incomplete, and weak. أَمَّا هُوَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى فَجْمِيُّ صِفَاتِهِ عَلَى وَجْءَ الْكَمَالِ. So as far as Allah, all of his qualities or characteristics or descriptions are to be understood in a manner of perfection. Just as Allah the Most High said, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There's nothing like him, equal to him, similar to him. That's negation of anything being like him, while at the same time there's affirmation that he is a Sami', the one who hears everything, and al-Basir, the one who sees everything. Again, from Surah Shura 42:11. Then Al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Baz says, وَلِكَمَالِهِ قَالَ هَلْ تَعْلَمُ سَمِيًا يعني هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيًا. He said, due to his perfection, because Allah is perfect, for that reason he said, do you know anyone or anything that is similar to him? Yani, there's nothing that is similar to him. Because why? Because he's perfect and everything else is imperfect. Yani, this ayah, هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيًا, Shaykh says, لَا سَمِيَ يُدَانِيهِ لِكَمَالِهِ. There's nothing or no one that is similar to him, that is, yani, that can be near to him, that can, yani, can be near to his perfection. Due to his perfection, there's nothing that is like him, there's nothing similar to him, yani, there's nothing that comes near to him due to his perfection and the imperfection of everything else. The last topic that the Shaykh talks about, and these are the last four ayat mentioned by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, 11th, 12th, 13th, and 14th ayat. The Shaykh is going to refer to some of them in this final portion of his discussion, all related to al-mashi'ah, al-mashi'ah and al-irada. And just, yani, to kind of summarize it a little bit, yani, the expression in Arabic, al-mashi'ah, is generally translated as the will. Yani, mashi'atullah, the will of Allah, what Allah wills. There's another expression that we're going to see here and that came in the Quran in many places, al-irada. And irada is sometimes translated also as will. In the English translation, they translate as desire. I prefer to translate as intent, to distinguish between al-mashi'ah and al-irada, because there's a place where they overlap and there's a place where they are different. So we want to have a different word to refer to irada, so we will know that there are two types of irada. One of them is like al-mashiyah and the other one is different. Alright? Otherwise, these words can be generally translated as will, the will of Allah, the mashiyah of Allah, or the irada of Allah. But in order to distinguish the two types of irada, we want to use a different word. Instead of will, we want to say intent. In the book it says desire. Alright, so I hope that some of it will be a little bit clear. It's a little bit technical what he's talking about here. We discussed it last week. We discussed it in the last question of the study guide from last week. And if a person is not familiar, it still might not be crystal clear. But from the answers that the brothers gave, mashallah, it seems like it's clear. So I hope it is clear, inshallah. It's a very important matter. As I mentioned previously, it is the misunderstanding of this matter that caused people to go astray to one extreme or another. We must recognize that there are two types of irada. We must also distinguish between them. Okay, so the Shaykh says, وَالْمَشِيَةِ الْمَشِيَةِ, yani the will of Allah, بِمَعْنَى الْإِرَادَ الْقَوْنِيَةِ, yani its meaning is the same as what we're going to be referring to as the first type of irada, الْإِرَادَ قَوْنِيَةِ or الْإِرَادَ الْقَدَرِيَةِ, yani the universal will of Allah, which entails that which He has decreed, and whatever Allah decrees is going to happen. Okay, so that gives you a hint of what is meant by al-irada qawniya, qadariya. It's the will of Allah, or the intent of Allah, that He decreed something to be, it must happen. Whether He likes it or not, whether He's pleased with it or not, whether He loves it or not, it must happen. It's what Allah has decreed. So He said al-mashiyah, it has the same meaning as al-irada al-qawniya, the universal will. Yani what Allah has decreed. Yani أن مشيئته نافذة لا يردها شيء. Yani what is meant by it is that it is His will which must be executed, and there is nothing that can repulse it, can turn it back, can reject it, can stop it. There is nothing that can repel it, nothing that can oppose it, nothing that can resist it. So what do we mean by al-mashiyah? We mean the same thing that we mean by al-irada qawniya, that is the will of Allah that must be executed. There's nothing that can resist it. Nothing that can oppose it. Ma sha Allah kana. And the scholars of Sunnah, they use this expression to refer to the mashiyah of Allah, and it also refers to al-irada al-qawniya. Yani ma sha Allah kana. Whatever Allah willed, it happened. وَمَا لَمْ يَشَىٰ لَمْ يَكُنْ. And whatever Allah didn't will, it will never happen. Whatever Allah wills must happen. And whatever He doesn't will, can't happen. That's the mashiyah of Allah, or the irada qawniya qadariya, what Allah has decreed. He said, مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ كَانَ. Whatever Allah willed, it happened. مِنْ مَوْتٍ, whether it's death of someone or anything, or hayat, or life. Allah willed it to die, Allah willed it to live. It's going to be whatever He willed it to be in His mashiyah or His irada, kawniya qadariya. Izz al-qawm, that Allah intends for people to be honored, or dhul, yani or Allah intends for people to be disgraced or humiliated. Aw zawal mulk, or thabat al-mulk, or Allah intends for somebody's kingdom or their authority to continue, to cease, to end, or for it to be, established, to go on. Or wilada or adamiha, or for someone to be born or not to be born. Kullu dhalika nafidhun ma sha Allah. All of this is executed as Allah willed it to be. This is al-irada al-qawniya qadariya, what Allah decreed, or al-mashiyah. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, and this is the ayat the Shaykh has mentioned here, the Shaykh of Islam didn't mention, from Surah At-Taqwiya, 81st Surah, 28th and 29th ayat, لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَيَسْتَقِيمُ. Whoever amongst you, يعني شاء, whoever amongst you wills to be upright. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَيَّشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And you will not be able to, be able to will, to make something happen, unless Allah wills it, the رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. يعني meaning that, here in these ayat, Allah is affirming that the human being does have a will, that he does intend to do something, but his will is subject to Allah's will. Allah's will is absolute. The human being has will. It's limited will. But Allah has absolute will. And his will, everybody's will is subject to his will. So the human being has will, and therefore the human being is responsible for what they decide to do. If the human being has no will, that he's just forced to do whatever he does, then how can he be accountable and punished for something he has no control over? So the human being has limited will, and therefore is responsible for their will, but the will of the human being is subject to the absolute will of Allah, the Rabbul Alameen. Then he also mentions another ayat that indicates the mashiyah of Allah, the irada, irada shar'iyyah. But the word here is used is, yani, sha'a. Walau sha'a rabbuka ma fa'aluhu. That if Allah had willed, and in his universal will, yani, his irada qawniyah, or his mashiyah, if he had willed, yani, they would not have done whatever they had did. Law sha'a rabbuka ma fa'aluhu. If Allah had willed for something not to happen, they wouldn't have been able to do it. This is Surah Al-An'am, 6th Surah, 112th Ayat. And finally, he mentions from Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, 253rd Ayat, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَقْتَتَلُوا. That if Allah had willed, they would not have fought amongst themselves. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْعَلُ مَا يُرِيدُ. But Allah is the one who does whatever He intends. In this ayat, the expression is used that indicates Al-Mashiyah, and the expression is used that indicates Al-Irada. And in this ayat, both of them mean the same thing. Both of them mean the same thing. If Allah had willed, they would not have fought. Because whatever Allah wills must happen. And, but Allah is the one who does whatever He yureed. Yani, that's irada. That's the irada qawniyah. Irada qawniyah, that's the same as al-mashiyah. Allah is the one who does whatever He wills, and nobody can oppose it. Nobody can resist it. Nobody can repel it. Nobody can reject it. إِلَى غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ. He said, and there are other, many, many other ayats that indicate the mashiyah of Allah, or al-irada al-qawniyah, that which Allah decreed that must occur. It might be something that Allah loves and is pleased with, or it might be something that Allah doesn't love and is not pleased with, but He decreed it to be, and therefore it must happen. Here the Shaykh goes to the explanation of the two types of irada. The first type of irada is what we mentioned, the same as al-mashiyah al-irada al-qawniyah, and here he begins to explain that there are two types of irada, and the difference between them. He says, "Wal irada hiya qisman aydan." I don't know why the word aydan here, but in any case, what is important here? Wal irada hiya qisman. The irada is two types. The irada is two types. This should not suggest to anyone that the mashiyah is also two types by the word aydan being here. Okay, that's why I'm saying I don't know why that word is there, but we should not understand from that that mashiyah is two types. Mashiyah is one. Irada is two types. Okay, so that word, it seems like maybe it's a printing mistake or something. But in any case, do not understand that either means that like Mashiach, Irada is also two types. No, Irada is two types, Mashiach is one. It's what Allah decrees, it must be, it must occur, nobody can reject it or resist it or oppose it. It may be what He loves, or it may be what He doesn't love, but it must happen. Well, Irada hiya qisman. Iradatun qawniyatun. The Irada qawniyah, kal mashiyati an-nafidhati. That is just like the Mashiyah, the will of Allah that must be executed. Allati la yarudduha radun mithluha. Yani the Mashiyah, the Irada Qawniyah, that's the first type. It's like Al-Mashiyah. It is the one that must be executed, and there's nothing or no one that can resist it or oppose it or repel it or reject it. كَمَا فِي قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى. And then an example of this irada qawniyah, that's like the Mashiyah, an example of it is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-An'am, 6th Surah, 125th Ayat, فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَن يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. And whoever Allah yuridu, whoever Allah in His irada qawniyah, qadariyah, yani He wills, He intends, He has decreed, that He guide him, then he will expand his breast, his chest, to Islam. And he will make that person receptive to the truth. So it's easy for them to accept Islam. If Allah intends in His universal will, in His irada, yani qawniyah, qadariyah, if He intends to guide a person, He expands their breast and makes it open and receptive to the truth, so that it's easy for them to accept Islam. وَمَنْ يُرِدْ أَنْ يُضِلَّهُ يَجْعَلْ صَدْرَهُ ضَيِّكًا حَرَجًا. And whoever Allah intends to lead him astray, then He makes his chest, his breast, closed and restricted. يعني ضَيِّكًا حَرَجًا. And the rest of the ayah, يعني كأنما يسعد في السماء. It is as though, يعني the same type of difficulty of a person who's trying to climb up into the sky. That's how Allah is going to make their chest tight, closed to the truth, so that they don't accept it. So it's too difficult for them to accept it. If Allah intends that He's going to lead a person astray because of their evil intent or their evil doing or whatever that they have done themselves, their rejection of the truth and deviating from the truth and straying from the truth, because of that, Allah intends to lead a person astray, He makes their chest closed and restricted and tight, so it's difficult for them to accept the truth, however clear it may be presented to them. This is an example of al-irada, al-qawniya, al-qadariya. Allah intends to guide a person, He makes it easy for them to accept the truth. Allah intends to mislead a person, He makes it difficult for them to accept the truth. What Allah wills, will be. And what He doesn't will not be. This is al-mashiyya, or al-irada, al-qawniya, al-qadariya. Another example of this first type of irada, that's the same as al-mashiyya, He said the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th surah, 1st ayah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَحْكُمُ مَا يُرِيدُ. Indeed, Allah commands whatever He intends, whatever He wills. This is al-mashiyya or al-irada qawniyya. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَحْكُمُ مَا يُرِيدُ. He yani legislates, He rules, He judges, He commands whatever He wills. What He wills to make lawful, He makes lawful. What He wills to make unlawful, He makes unlawful. Allah is the one who yahkum. He makes the ahkam, the rulings, the judgments, according to His will. Ma yurid, yani His irada, kawniya, or qadariya. He decides Himself what He wills, and it's going to be like that. He said this is also an example of irada, القونية, that's the same as المشيئة. فهذه إرادة قونية نافذة كالمشيئة لا رد لها. يعني this is الإرادة قونية, يعني the universal will or the قدرية, what Allah has decreed that must be executed, and it is the same as His مشيئة, His will, that no one or nothing can repulse or reject or oppose. Finally, he says, أما الإرادة الشرعية, the second type of إرادة, الإرادة الشرعية دينية. يعني the will of Allah or the intent of Allah from what He legislates. He legislates that people pray and that people fast and that people read the Quran and that people are truthful and honest. يعني this is what Allah has legislated. This is what He loves. This is what He's pleased with. However, it may or may not happen. It may or may not happen. And Allah has legislated that people follow the prophets and obey the prophets and follow the guidance. Some people follow and some people don't. This is irada shara'iyya. What Allah, the laws that He made that He loves for the people to follow, that He's pleased with the people following, but it may or may not happen. He says, أَمَّا الْإِرَادَ الشَّرَعِيَّةَ الَّتِي بِمَانَ الْمَحَبَّ وَالرِّضَى. What is the meaning of irada shara'iyya? It has the meaning of what Allah loves and what Allah is pleased with. فهذه تقع وقد لا تقع. يعني this, it may occur as Allah willed it to be, as He, يعني what He loves. It may occur and it may not occur. It may occur, it may not occur. وهي مثل قوله تعالى, and it is like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 26th and 27th Ayat, يريد الله ليبين لكم ويهديكم سنن الذين من قبلكم ويتوب عليكم والله عليم حكيم والله يريد أن يتوب عليكم. يعني Allah يريد, يعني He intends, Allah intends to make clear to you, يعني the evidences and the proofs of right guidance, ويهديكم, and to guide you to the paths of those who were before you. This is what Allah wills, this is what He intends and what He has legislated. This is what He loves and this is what He's pleased with. But some people may follow the guidance and some people may not. وَيَتُوبُ عَلَيْكُمْ. And Allah wills to, yani, accept your repentance. He wills that you turn to Him repentance and that He accept it. He wills that. That's what He loves, that's what He's pleased with, that's what He legislated. But some people repent and some people don't. This is where the human being will come in. Yani a Muslim knows that they have done something wrong that's displeasing to Allah, and they know that Allah loves and Allah is pleased that they repent. But some of us, we know that and we don't repent. How can a Muslim do an act of disobedience to Allah and know that Allah has legislated tawbah? Know that Allah loves tawbah. He loves and He's pleased that we repent to Him, but we don't repent. How is that possible? Naam. And he says, so Allah alimun hakim, and Allah is the one who has all knowledge and perfect wisdom. Wallahu yuridu ayyatuba alaykum. Allah intends, He desires, He loves, and He's pleased that you repent and that He accept your repentance. فَهَذِهِ إِرَادَةٌ شَرْعِيَّةٌ قَدْ تَقَى وَقَدْ لَا تَقَى. Yani this is the irada shara'iyya, what Allah has legislated in His sharia, that which He loves and that which He is pleased with. It may occur and it may not occur. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَيَّهَدِيَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ جَمِيعًا. Allah intends, He desires, He loves, He is pleased that all of the Muslims be guided. يُرِيدُ أَيَّتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ. He wants to accept their repentance. وَلَكِنْ إِرَادَةٌ شَرَئِيَّةٌ أَكْثَرُ الْخَلْقِ مَا طِيَبَ عَلَيْهِمْ. But in this irada shara'iyyah, what Allah has legislated, yani here in reference to repentance, He says, most of the people, مَا طِيَبَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Yani Allah didn't, yani accept their repentance. They didn't repent. They didn't repent. Even though that's what Allah loves. أَكْثَرُهُمْ يَمُوتُ عَلَى الْكُفْرِ. Most of the people died upon kufr. فَالْإِرَادَ الشَّرَعِيَّةِ قَدْ تَقَعْ وَقَدْ لَا تَقَعُ. Yani, the irada shara'iyya is that which may occur or it may not occur. So it has two aspects. It is that which Allah loves and is pleased with, but it may or may not occur. Then he says, فَاللَّهُ أَرَادَ شَرَعًا لِلْإِنسَانِ أَنْ يَقْبَلَ الْحَقِّ وَيَتَّبِعَ الرَّسُولِ وَأَنْ يُتِيعَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ مِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَطَاعَ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ عَصَى فَمَنْ أَطَاعَهُ فَلَهُ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَنْ أَصَاهُ فَلَهُ النَّارِ. He said, so Allah intended in His sharia, His irada shara'iyya, what He loves and is pleased with, that the human being accept the truth. That's what Allah is pleased with. That's what He intends for us. And He loves and is pleased with, He wills in his sharia, that the people follow the messengers and that they obey Allah. Then there are some who obey and there are some who disobey. So whoever obeyed Him, then he will have Jannah, and whoever disobeyed Him, then for him is the hellfire. And this is as Allah Jalla wa Ala says, yani in Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 13th and 14th Ayat, تِلْكَ هُدُودُ اللَّهِ. These are the boundaries set by Allah. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ يُدْخِلْهُ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمِ. Yani these are the boundaries of Allah. So whoever obeys Allah and obeys His Messenger, Allah will admit them into gardens underneath which rivers flow to abide therein forever, and that is the supreme success. وَمَنْ يَعْسِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ ويتعدى حدوده يدخله نارا خالدا فيها وله عذاب مهين. And whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger and goes beyond, transgresses his boundaries, then Allah will admit that person into the fire and he will remain in it forever and he will have a humiliating punishment. كلهم متوعدون فمن أطاع بِإِخْتِيَارِهِ وَإِرَادَتِهِ فَلَهُ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَنْ أَصَاهُ فَلَهُ النَّارِ هَذِهِ الْإِرَادَةِ الشَّرْعِيَةِ. So he said, all of the people, they are threatened. So those who obey by their own choice and their intent, their will to do so, then they will have paradise, and whoever disobeys him, then they will have the hellfire. And this is Al-irada al-shara'iyya, what Allah has legislated, what He loves and is pleased with. Some people may obey and some people will disobey. Amma al-qawniyya, fala yukhalifuha ahadan. As far as His irada al-qawniyya, nobody can oppose it. Nobody can resist it. Nobody can, yani, stop it. Ma arada Allah annahu yaqa'u قوما فإنه يقع من هلاك قوم أو عزهم أو موت فلان أو حياته أو زوال ملك فلان أو بقائه وغير ذلك. He said, as far as the irada qawniya, qadariya, universal will of Allah, nobody can oppose it. Allah intends or He wills something, yani qawnan, yani in His irada qawniya, it has to happen. When He wills it, in that way it has to happen. Whether it is the destruction of a people, or it is the honoring of a people, or the death of a person, or his life, or the cessation of the sovereignty or the kingdom of someone, or its remaining intact, or other than that. Yani, this is the irada qawniya, like nobody can oppose, it will be as Allah willed it to be. As far as irada al-qawniya, then it is like al-mashi'a. It is the same as what is intended by al-mashi'a. Maraduha nafidhun, yani whatever is intended by Allah in this, yani irada qawniya or al-mashiyah, it must be executed. Nobody can oppose it or resist it or stop it. And then the Shaykh closes by saying, wafaqaqallah al-jamiya, may Allah grant yani success to everyone. May Allah grant all success to everyone, to all of us. Ameen ya Rabb. Okay, so this is the end of what we intended to cover for today. And the time is up as well. So as I mentioned in the beginning, the study guide that we gave out today has the modified study guide from last week's session number 7, and it has the study guide for today's session, which we just covered. And we'll cover those questions in the next session. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us understanding of these very important matters of our aqidah, especially the tawheed of asma wa sifat, and the minhaj of the Ahl Sunnah, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has named Himself and described Himself in the Quran, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has named Him and described Him in the authentic Sunnah. It's important for us to read the Quran and to reflect upon it and to contemplate yani these affairs where Allah is mentioning descriptions of Himself and names of Himself. That is incumbent upon us to affirm, to understand, and to act upon, and likewise in the Sunnah, and to reject what Allah has negated from Himself or what has been negated by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that we will know Allah. So that we will know Allah. Whoever knows Allah has a chance to love Allah. And whoever loves Allah, inshallah, will be obedient to Allah. And whoever is obedient to Allah, by His mercy and His favor and His forgiveness, will enter His paradise. And that's what we are asking for. May Allah yani grant us His paradise and save us from His hellfire. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك. If there's any question, نعم امام. طيب.
So this is irada qawniya. The ayat, the beginning of the ayat deals with hunting animals when a person is in a state of ihram.
No.
So this is irada qawniya. Would it be connected to the reward or punishment of doing so, which is not in the choice of the human being, as opposed to the actual ruling itself, which a person has the choice to comply with or not? Is it he's saying, if you do this now, then Allah will judge according to you, and you will not have any choice in the punishment that Allah gives you if you violate these laws?
It seems as though it is that Allah has legislated laws. يَحْكُمْ مَا يُرِيدْ. He has legislated that things are lawful, except what He prohibited. And from amongst them is that a person in ihram is not allowed to hunt the land game. So if a person, so here the meaning, as some of the scholars of tafsir said, يَحْكُمْ مَا يُرِيدْ, yani he decides, he legislates what he intends, meaning what is lawful and what is unlawful. So he has made these things lawful, and he has made exceptions. They are unlawful. So Allah is the one who decided that. He decided this. يَحْكُمْ here means he commanded that this is lawful and this is unlawful, and therefore we have to abide by it. And if we don't abide by it, then the person's will comes into play, they do whatever they will, and then they are yani, subject to the consequences of what they have done. Allahu a'lam. That's what it seems like.
The will here is the ruling itself, not how the ruling is dealt with by the creation. He chose what he wanted.
The ruling is what Allah willed it to. Yeah, that ruling is yani, is his decision, and nobody can oppose it. Yani, people do whatever they do, but the ruling itself is Allah's will. No, Allahu a'lam. I mean, probably in some of the tafsirs it may be a little bit more clear. I just looked at a couple of tafsirs, and that seems to be the meaning of what most of them said. Yani huwa yahkum ma yurid, yani al-halal wal-haram, and he decides what's lawful and what's unlawful. And that is particular here in reference to this ayat, as you mentioned, that deals with the beginning about yani the animals, what is lawful and what is unlawful, and the exceptions to it. It seems that that's what it's talking about.
I just wanted that clarification. Because since it's relating to legislation,
yeah,
then it might be confused with, you know,
the
that a person has a choice in, but the actual ruling itself, no one has a choice in what Allah.
It seems that that's what he intends. It seems that what he intends. No. Allahu a'lam. No. So, but just let me just make a note here that, and normally we're going to take the questions after we dismiss, right? But it's important, though. It's good that you brought it up now. I just want to make a note that is that one of the ways, yani, to distinguish between irada qawniyya and shara'iyya, a person has to look at, is this something that Allah loves? I mean, that there's, he may or may not love, or is it what he loves? So what Allah legislates is only what he loves. There's no choice in it, he may or may not love it, okay? But here in this particular case, because he's talking about yani, the people, what he has made lawful for the people and what he made unlawful for the people, then it's applicable to the ruling itself, and then yani, the people themselves may or may not, you know, they may abide by it or not. But the ruling itself is fixed, and it seems as though that what it is, and Allah knows best. Now,
is just kind of back up to his question, is that maybe why the shaykh on the two ayahs that wasn't in the book?
This ayah was in the book, but it wasn't mentioned in the English translation. That's the ayah that was missed in the English translation. But it was a long ayat, and the Shaykh in his commentary only mentioned the end of the ayat. But it was mentioned by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. And all the ayats that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentioned are all from irada qawniyya. All of those ayats are from irada qawniyya. He didn't mention any ayats from irada shara'iyya. And that ayat was from the ayats of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. But in the original text, he mentioned the whole ayat, and Shaykh ibn Baz only mentioned the end of the ayat in his commentary, and Allah knows best. We're going to stop here, inshallah, and we'll continue our discussion, inshallah, after we break, so people who have to leave can leave, and those who want to stay, inshallah, we have some little refreshments. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.